Welcome to Live Talks, a podcast by Live, a tech and logistics company headquartered in Abu Dhabi. On Live Talks, we tackle fintech, logistics, business, and best practices in the workplace. I'm Karim Bakhash, the VP of Strategy at Live Global, and I will be your host. Welcome to a new episode of Live Talks. Today's topic is going to be about business ecosystems for retail success. My guest today is Raffaella Campagnoli. She's a senior advisor and the former chief strategy officer of MAF Retail.
Correct.
Thank you.
Very nice to be here.
Thank you, Raffaella. If you want to introduce yourself first before we start with our topic.
What to talk about myself? I was a consultant. I'm still a consultant dealing with nice industries like food, beverage, retail, fashion, luxury, hospitality. Very, very long term in this country, in the GCC, 13 years that I'm living here. Super excited still.
Great. Well, almost the same timing. I also been here for almost 14 years. So.
And we're neighbors.
And we're also neighbors, turned out. So listen, it's very nice to have you. It's a topic that we haven't really covered since we started this this podcast. Building ecosystems for success is a very, very important topic. We've dealt with it internally where we work at Live, where we always look out at what kind of skill, what kind of offering, or sometimes what kind of capabilities we can bring to the table while not doing it ourselves, while looking for the right partner out there who can help us or complement us into achieving success. And typically, a lot of businesses are a bit confused on this topic because they start from this relationship of supplier. I am the client, you're my supplier, I'm going to deal with you as a supplier, and if there's a problem, I'll just kind of ask you as a supplier. But there is no maturity yet into dealing with, you know, a supplier as a partner, but also as other companies that could be in the same ecosystem as partners.
Mm-hmm.
So I think before we get into these technicalities, maybe if you just introduce and we talk about what is this business ecosystem and, you know, some global examples of success.
Yeah. So I will start maybe defining what is a business ecosystem, right? As an ecosystem, we have always in mind the nature and our planet, which is a system of organisms which are living together according to, you know, a symbiosis which helps everyone to survive, to go to the next stage. And if one piece is missing, then probably the full chain is going to fail for a while till when we don't substitute this piece which is missing with something else. And if you think about the food chain, for example, it's the same thing. It's really kind of biology kind of terms coming from, right? And, you know, many studies right now and a lot of research talk about the future of every industry, which is going to be an ecosystem play. Why is it an ecosystem play? Because if you think about how we make a product, how we manufacture whatever, how we distribute whatever, and we look at it at the under the perspective of the complexity of how consumers want continuously innovation and more agility and more things to buy online, offline, this omni-channel, multi-channel, every industry is getting into much higher complexity, right? So the big question mark that every big player right now, from manufacturing to distribution to retail, is questioning themselves is how can I really invest my capital, which is limited capital, into continuously developing new capabilities in a very fast way by having limited investments to do. And this is where the ecosystem play comes out, right? At a certain point, as a company, you need to understand what kind of capabilities you really want to have internally, and then think about what kind of suppliers, which are suppliers simply because they're other companies, but what kind of other capabilities, including the strategic one, you can actually get from the outside in order to be fast enough, in order to be agile enough, in order to respond in a compelling way to the customer demands questions. And now, if you think about how to satisfy a consumer, if you think about the many ways to get to consumers now, not just online, offline, also the human nature, the human touch points, and the number of advertising that you see digitally and not digitally in the world. So you need to make up something which is harmonious, which makes sense. But however, not every company, small companies only maybe can satisfy in terms of full value chain. So big examples of huge companies which are billions and billions of dollars revenue, $500-600 billion revenues, like Amazon, like Walmart, like Apple, these are ecosystems. We are not defining them as ecosystems because, first of all, it's their strategy, probably not to, you know, disclose so much the way they do things. But if you think about Amazon, for example, the Amazon itself, company has got 2 million, obviously, suppliers within their marketplace. They have more than 100,000 developers of the app. They have more than 200,000, for example, all over the world, developers of their devices, which are connected to the Amazon, Alexa, whatever. If we think about Apple, 80 or 95% of direct costs of Apple is third parties, right? So over 2 million people are employed from Apple in more than 50 countries to manufacture, to develop their softwares, to think about the logistics, to think about the design. So the only thing which is always made in Apple is the design, but everything else which is connected from the Apple TV to the iTunes to whatever device we can think of is kind of outsourced. Is it really an outsourcing kind of business? Not really. Why? Because Apple and Walmart and Amazon, they take care, for example, of these companies by having training to them. So their employees, the company's employees belonging to the ecosystem are actually like these giants' employees. Why? Because it's a win-win model. Same KPIs, same objectives, and somehow a way of working which has to be developed over time, refined over time, and working together is key to be successful for both parties, right? Because that means longevity, sustainability, and obviously ecosystem success. So the fact that industries are developing into a more ecosystem shape as a business is a must for facing the future, is a must for continuously being competitive over the same marketplace, and it's a must for winning the market itself, right? Thinking about the limitation of every company on the invested capital and on the facts of continuously building up new capabilities which are actually fostering these companies towards the future. Make sense?
Yes, of course. And I think you bring up some very important points around how these big companies have succeeded by building these ecosystems of partners. People, you bring up the example of Amazon, which is commonly known because, you know, there's, you know, all these different merchants and suppliers that work for it. So it's much more visible sometimes for people to understand, okay, this is what an ecosystem looks like. And Amazon is just a front and, you know, making sure that everybody is working the same way when using and utilizing the platform to sell. So you as a consumer, you're looking at it from a the same perspective. I'm going to buy from all these merchants, but for me, the experience is going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Because Amazon has built up a very thick layer between me and all these partners to work together in the same way. And they're all funneled towards me as the consumer, if I'm looking at my consumer. So this is more visible for people when they think of Amazon. And it goes also on distribution side because Amazon doesn't distribute. Everyone that delivers here in Amazon is actually not Amazon people. They're also using partners across, even for warehousing, to get all this shipped everywhere. So they're utilizing this ecosystem at the perfect shape. And people don't understand that actually Apple, which is kind of these devices, is, as you said, 90% not them. Mm-hmm. And people can just flip on the back of an Apple and see it says designed by Apple, right? Or designed in California, because they want to make sure that it's in California, but it's not produced there and everything else is not produced there. But still, they are giving the promise to customers. that this product is at this quality because it's Apple and they take care of all the rest, which is a big ask, right? Because as a business, when you decide to do these partnerships as an ecosystem, you're kind of taking the risk on yourself, right? Because you're shielding those suppliers from the consumer. You're saying, I am in face of the consumer. I'm going to take all the risk. If there's a problem, the consumer, I'm the brand who's going to be, you know, taking the hit, not the supplier, because the supplier, no one knows the supplier. Like Apple Suppliers is this very famous company in China, I forgot the name, but they produce all the supply, but no one knows who is that supplier. Mm. At the end, if there's a problem, they're going to go to Apple. Mm-hmm. And so that brings me to kind of the discussion is, how do you get around this? Because, you know, you as a business, your name is on the line, your reputation is on the line. How do you cross that line of saying, okay, I'm going to now go in and take my trust on the line and go out and get some partners?
That's my brand, right? That's my name, my brand perception, my brand recognition, my brand value, right? And going back, you're absolutely right. Going back to Apple example, right? I have here some numbers, which are on their website, for example. So they're like, you know what? 4.5 million of suppliers' employees offer access to higher education. They have 1.4 million per year engaged in workplace surveys to understand if they're happy, not happy, how can Apple can actually make their life better if possible, right? 48,000 per year, they have been participating to Apple's technical training. So, wow. You know, making sure that these people, these companies are belonging to an ecosystem, that they feel like part of the ecosystem, is definitely one of the success factors that Apple, like other companies, and I can think about Walmart, like a huge element on ecosystem buildings, for example, which is making their success. So as far as the ecosystem is successful, so every single element of this chain is happy, then the brands and the product and the service is going to be successful. And that is one of the elements. I think that, you know, we were talking about before about win-win kind of KPIs, win-win kind of models. So we are partners, right? We need to run for the same objective, because my customer is actually your customers. If my customer or consumer isn't happy, then we're not going to get along anymore as partners, right? So it's important that these central brands have the capability of orchestrating not just the capabilities that they need. So making sure that, you know what, I need these specific capabilities, AI, for example, that now is so much right on the edge, right? But think about research and development, which is such a strategic capability, for example, for pharmaceutical companies. Think about the innovation that some startups can bring into a value chain. So I need to be able to understand what kind of capabilities keep internally and what kind of capabilities searching into the market, identify the right partners and have share the same values with the right partners, right? So it's a question of trust. You or I can be your supplier forever, but in reality, if I don't trust your values, if I don't embrace the culture of your company, probably we're not going to get along in the long term. We're going to have a relationship which is monetary driven, figure driven, transactional, right? Yeah. In these cases, we build a story of brands, of services, of millions of people served. So if I'm not wrong, Walmart has got 100 million customers per week. What do they offer to customers? Yes, grocery. Yes, an extended variety of groceries, food, non-food. They make their own private brand with their own suppliers, which are their own partners. However, there's also financial services. Correct. There's also insurance. There's also a lot of different other services, right? Which can have to be continued in the story of Walmart's relationship with the consumer, and have to be sustainable in terms of price, in terms of service, right? So these are really important values definitely not transactional, or not only transactionals, to be built around an ecosystem. And having core capabilities for orchestrating and identifying capabilities, to me, is the most challenging element that any company, big or small, would face, because that requires trust. That requires longevity in terms of long-term thinking, and that requires also vision. So that implies a risk.
Of course. But that's an important point, right? And maybe we'll talk about regionally how that developed, but you can see that a business who opts to go into an ecosystem and build partnership needs to kind of take the risk at the end, right? Because if they do not take the risk, they're not going to be able to make that jump and potentially add much more value to their company, right? Because as a business, you don't have the luxury of owning every single skill, right? At the end, we're a tech provider for a lot of businesses, and we know that these businesses, they come to us because they don't have the skills, or they don't want to have that capabilities built in-house to build their own tech team and build their own solutions and, you know, all the cost and the risk that comes with that. But in the same time, you can see that they're not yet ready to take that jump and build a real long-lasting partnership. They will still deal with you as if you are a supplier, very important to them because you're critical to their operations. Mm-hmm. But they still don't understand that actually that relationship can evolve to a win-win situation, because at the end, if my tech fails, meaning your, let's say, delivery operations or retail operations are going to suffer, which means you're going to lose customers. But if we had built a better partnership where I am incentivized also to make sure that you are successful, mm-hmm. I am going to definitely put my feet on the ground and put my risk with you, and align all my incentives to you to make sure that you're successful.
Yeah. It's more of a competition.
Yeah.
Which is difficult to be accepted and seen by, for example, regional players, right? So competing and cooperating has got a very thin difference.
Right.
Why? Because supplier and customer, they are cooperating, but in reality, they could compete. Vertical integration, one side.
Correct.
All right. So it's also a question of defining what my place is, what my space is, where I want to compete, and how I want to win.
Yes.
Right? And regionally, maybe because these markets are a little less advanced than mature markets, right? Or, you know, we have the tendency of being convinced that if we develop internally, we're going to be better for some reasons, because we pretend to know better, or we pretend or expect or hope to hire the best talents ever. However, I'm, for example, someone against employment. And the reason why I'm against employment is that with employment, you have a safe place, right? If you have a safe place, you kind of less competitive versus someone who's always there being measured every day, because there's competitors at the door and in the window, and let you like, hello, I'm cheaper or I'm faster, whatever. So ecosystem is not a forever marriage. Ecosystem is we win together because we're better together, right? So far, I've seen companies willing to enter the ecosystem place, and I'm talking about regional competitors. However, still believing that we are better internally. So in reality, we try. For some months, we tend to trust that this partner is someone for the long term. But then something comes out and we're like almost scared, and we go back to make everything internally, which means that we start developing IT systems internally, we start developing software internally, we start developing AI engines and data lakes and things, especially on the back office side, that share services internally,
yeah.
That it's obvious that we are not capable to manage by ourselves, because that's not our core business, that's not even an adjacent business, right? Yeah. And then we go back saying, oh no, we spent too much. Oh no, we didn't meet the profit targets. And then we do a second attempt on saying, well, maybe we could partner for 5 to 8 years, but it's still an outsourcing kind of contract. It's not still an ecosystem. So it's complicated, but I think that with more the markets, and every market, especially regionally now, is getting more competitive because more players are coming, and other countries, Saudi Arabia, is starting getting competitive too, right, with their capabilities. So we would need to, you know, make faster decisions, go to customers or to clients more in a more agile way, and finally risk it a little bit more by having trust into these companies, smaller or bigger than us, that still want to trust together with us.
I've seen this in conversation with clients, and I just want to reiterate this point because it's important. There's a very big temptation to in-house things all the time, especially in this region. Because we deal with global clients, and you can feel the difference sometimes between how a global client approaches this. For example, if I work with a US client-based client or European-based client, you can sense the approach as, I am looking for a partner because I don't have the skills to do this. So I am now looking for a long-term partnership with someone who can complement me to solve this issue. Mm. This is my issue. Mm. It's not about a tool. I have a business problem. I think you can help me solve that business problem. Let's see how we can work together. We're going to talk about for the next 6 months how we can solve this problem together. Literally, this is the conversation. In the other side, we have other companies that will say, this is what I want, the solution. And this is what exactly it has to do. But, you know, does it solve a business problem? Yes, I know the problem. This is my problem. You give me the solution, and then you're competing against five others. And then after a while, you know, let's say we take this contract and we're, you know, with them for a year. Suddenly they decide to in-house and build the product themselves because they think they can do better with the product, which we don't have anything against. But the conversation I used to have with that client, say, okay, it's very nice. You're going to copy whatever we were doing because it's your right? You've seen how it works. You think somebody internally can build the same solution. You're absolutely right. But in a year, you're going to be behind. In 2 years, you're going to be completely divergent of what's happening on the market. And your costs are going to skyrocket because you're just limited to one. And your solution is going to be employ more people because you think that's the way it goes. But I have scale. And I am competing with 50 others, and I have to be always upfront on kind of latest innovation, lowest cost. I'm on my toes, as you said, like all the time trying to compete. You don't are competing with anyone anymore. You're just internal. So there will always be excuses of, why is not this not better than what's in the market? Oh, we need to hire more people. Oh, yeah. I have to do this. And it's just, you're going to fall behind. And I honestly told them, it's not because I want to keep you as a client, but I'm giving you this as an advisor. Don't go that road. It's a road that will just arc back to outsource at the end because you're going to fall behind. Mm. Unless you want to become a tech company, which is not your core, right, at the end.
Yeah, but defining the core is one of the challenges that we have, and I'm part of these regional companies, right, or have been at least. We have challenges on defining what's core. Correct. And so we have challenges on defining what is not core, in defining what we want to do or we are doing and what we don't do. So this is already something that we should really clarify, because being vertical and being sure who we are without, you know, too many roads away, left, right, center, trying this, trying that, is something that definitely higher competition would force us to do. I also think that you're very right. We go back and do it internally after maybe 6 to 8 months, maybe 9 months of benchmarking. And after the exercise of benchmarking, where we have seen where pioneers are, then we're going to copy a solution which is already old while we copy it. So maybe trying also to compete with industries which have nothing to do with our industries.
So if you go back to these building these ecosystem, is there kind of like a winning formula, a roadmap? Is it, I mean, I know it's a very broad question, but is it applicable for any type and size of business, or do you need to be at a certain maturity as an organization to say, okay, now I'm ready to leapfrog into this ecosystem models that, you know, the big corporations have?
No, I don't think there's a maturity level where you have to be. So there's companies, for example, we were analyzing with the Bocconi University study, Li & Fung, which is a Chinese company. It was born early 90s by trading fabrics from China to other countries. And immediately after they started from Hong Kong, getting a lot of suppliers producing garments. Instead of getting suppliers, they started partnering with suppliers, right? So it means that suppliers didn't have at the time the level of digital promptness or IT systems or automation, for example, which was needed for Nike to become one of the customers. And so they invested in these kind of capabilities by getting, after 20 years, 20,000 companies affiliated within their ecosystem. And nowadays they control everything with the control panel by, I don't know, designing 3D models, for example, and then sending to Thailand production, Bangladesh production, Philippines production. The company was listed till 7 years ago, then they re-became private. But in reality, they started almost immediately developing their own capabilities like an ecosystem play. So there's other companies, Amazon, for example, they were not born like a super huge marketplace, right? They were selling books at the beginning. Yeah. And then they became the best ever lifestyle partner ever. Did they do it by themselves? No, but they grew step by step, as much as Apple, for example, the number of devices that they developed, and so the number of suppliers and affiliated companies became as big as their portfolio increased. The important element is that these companies, they know what they want to stand for. So where to play and how to win must be clear. As far as it's clear, then you also, and step number one, I would say it's that one. Second step is what kind of skills and capabilities I need. Being able to map the capabilities that I need is not a simple exercise for us in the region, for example. And then based on that, what is really what I can do better than other players, and relying on other players to complement and coexist with you and cooperate with you in a compelling, competitive way is the third step. So define your own where to play, where to win, step number one. Number two, what kind of capabilities you need for winning the market, and then decide what kind of capabilities you need to partner for, ally for, or develop internally. And I think that this kind of reflection is within many of our regional players' companies right now. And, you know, food retailers, for example, they're thinking, does it make sense myself to manufacture, for example, the sandwiches or not? Should I rely to an external partner? Or do I deliver my online grocery myself with my own drivers or not? Is there specialized companies that I can leverage on? Or maybe more than one specialized company, right? So it's a path towards an ecosystem play, which has to develop as much as our own way of reflecting our strategy on our way to operate gets more mature.
I think you're absolutely right on kind of how a lot of companies are developing naturally into ecosystems sometimes. You mentioned the food delivery companies, which are turning more and more as marketplaces of different services and products that they can offer, because they want to become this ecosystem, or, you know, one place where you can go and get multiple things.
I think it's the normal evolution of every industry, you know. With more complexity you bring, obviously with more partners driven you have to be.
Good. Well, listen, that's about time for today. I thank you very much for your time, Rafaela. It was a pleasure having you on our show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and see you next time.